lasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Shall be, gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, gladly will I toil suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea, the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, may I enter life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with
Amen. Beautiful song. And I trust that we can stay close to the Lord. What a wonderful opportunity that we have that the Lord stays with us, right? He stays with us all the time. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And yet our job is to stay close to Him and walk with Jesus. Thank you so much for that. All right. We're going to look at a number of things this morning. Before we turn to a passage of Scripture, I'd just like to ask you a question. I know that you know the answer, but I want to talk a little bit about this morning about the appreciation for others, and it's revolved around a word, edify. We see in Scriptures all throughout the New Testament this word edify. It's listed as another word sometimes, edification, and even other words that are used. But the word edify, what does that word mean, to edify? It means to build up. I think that most of you know that. To edify is to build up. An edifice is a building. It's a place that has been built, and of course we build up. So we edify one another, and the Bible tells us to edify. To edify, according to a Bible dictionary, is the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. Let me give you that again. Just think through that. It's the same as what I just said, but let me read it again. Edify, it's the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, holiness. So edification is looking to somebody else and it's helping promote their growth. It's doing something to help out with that growth. Now, of course, all of us know that we only grow through who? We grow through Christ, okay? He's the one that helps to, he's the one that grows us. Through him, he gives us his word, and we grow in him through his word and the Holy Spirit helping. And so he does it, but there are certain things that he allows us as individuals, and specifically the body of Christ, helping the other members of the body to grow and to be encouraged in the things of the Lord. And here in this definition, growth in Christian wisdom. You know, it is our job to edify one another, to build up each other in wisdom, to show what is right and the right way to live, and to take the knowledge of God's word and make good application of that so that we can live the truth, live what is in here. That is wisdom. It's taking the very best word, the very best goods, in the very best way, using the very best materials and building the very best building. Okay, that's really what it means, what wisdom is taking all of that, and our job is to help out with that, with each other. And so just think about this a little bit. You're supposed to edify, even in just wisdom. So your job, believer here this morning, is to look around the room this morning and to say, you know what, my job is to edify one another. Now, I could have a little exercise here. I'm not going to do it, but just imagine with me if I had every one of you to turn around. Maybe some of you in the back, you would be looking this way, but just to look around and then give you a sheet and with a fill in the blank there, and it would be, so my job is my, and then your name. You know, if it was Ed back there, I, Ed, have the job to edify, and then another blank. And you have the opportunity to take, 75 people here this morning and write each one of those people in that blank there. So I, whoever your name is, have the opportunity and the responsibility to edify and then write everybody in the room down. Now, of course, we're not going to do that. I don't have ushers back there with a pile of papers and whatever to do that. But folks, understand something, that in the Bible, we have a responsibility as individuals to edify or to build up one another in the area. And I'm just starting off with wisdom. How to go through life in a wise way. It's our job to help. It doesn't mean that we're a know-it-all and we go around and say, you ought to do this. It doesn't mean that we do that. But it's to help. It's to build. It's to promote another's growth in that. We could talk about wisdom. We could talk about piety in just a godliness. How to be godly. How to have a love for him. What was listed, the word happiness. And of course, that word happiness is not a worldly happiness. It's just be happy with all the things of this world. But this happiness is godly happiness. It's, maybe you could even say, joy. It's being joyful in who God is and what he brings in our lives, and to know that he's doing a perfect work. You know, it's our job when people go through trials to build each other up in that joy through trials, to encourage one another. Holiness is another word that was used here in this definition. Again, this is not an inspired definition. So holiness, I'm supposed to help build you up in holiness and how to be separate from the world and set apart unto the Lord. And you could add a whole lot more things to this, that we're supposed to provoke each other unto godliness. The word edification, it's the act of building up. We could all have a project and decide that back here in our property, we're going to build something. And I could say, okay, team members or members of our church, we're going to go out today and we're going to build a building out here. And I would have some people doing this and some people doing that. And it would be your job to lay this brick or to place that block or to nail that piece of wood, or to do this, and we would add to this building. It's our job to go and to be a part of this building. That's what God wants us to do. Edification. It's our job. Let's look at the purpose here in a few passages of Scripture. It's going to appear that this is a topical, it is kind of topical, but we're going to go to a certain couple places that really speak of this idea of edification in other people's lives. But first off, let's go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Very simple statement that is made. Again, we're not grounding ourselves right here, but just a simple statement. Romans chapter 14, which give us as a church our purpose. You'll notice that word that we just introduced to you just a moment ago, edify. Romans 14, 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So God tells us through the book of Romans that we're supposed to follow after the things that make for peace and things. We're supposed to follow after things that we can use to edify one another. Follow after, seek after, go after the things that are going to promote or help each other's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, holiness, etc., etc. We're supposed to follow after those things. The purpose of our church is to listen to the Word of God and to honor and glorify Him. One of the ways we do this is to help build each other up. You know, it's amazing to me how many churches are so a part of tearing each other down. I stop and I pause there on purpose. It's very true. So much of church activity today is tearing each other down. Degrading one another and what they do and what they don't do and why they're not worthy and why they do this and why they don't do that. And honestly, a lot of churches today just revolve around a lot of picking at each other. Hens picking at each other and getting on, why don't you do this? And I'll tell you, that's not godly. God never intended that for the church. No, He encourages us to edify one another. For many years, we've had chickens at our property, and we recently did without, and we just got some more again the other day. And you know, they just observing them, they peck at each other, you know. And you know, it's some sort times, you know, then they fight, and you get a couple roosters that fight together, or some hens that they'll go after each other a little bit. But you know what? What's interesting is they peck at each other. You know, they do this and do that. And one gets, you know, a worm, and another one will come up and race after it and try to, you know, get after it a little bit and try to peck at each other. And you know, that's the way that the nature of these animals are. And there are some chickens that do it more than others, but they peck at each other. They get after each other, and you know, they don't dwell in the kind of unity that we talk about. Then you got other animals that you get them together and they help each other out. In fact, I always thought it was kind of disgusting to go to the zoo and watch the monkeys, you know, sit there in their thing. And what do? They sit there and pick all the bugs off of each other and eat them and do all the stuff that they do. I'm like, wow, that's kind of an amazing and disgusting thing to do. But, you know, I look at that and it's like, you know, and I'm not trying to make these monkeys humans, but they really, you know, they're probably honestly in their little monkey worlds really caring about themselves. I don't know, do they really care about that monkey? But I love the illustration though of just watching them, their care for each other, you know, and they're doing this and they're helping each other. And occasionally you'll get some monkeys that of course are fighting. I'm not saying monkeys are all lovely together, but I'm just saying, you know, you look at even these animals and some peck and some fight and some do this and they're out for each other. Are out for themselves, and then you got other animals that you watch them doing this. Now, we're not animals. God tells us as humans that we're supposed to love. We're supposed to care. We're supposed to actually care for that other need. Go to them, and not as the monkeys do and pick the bugs off, but we're supposed to go and we're supposed to help them. We're supposed to help clean them and build them up and encourage them and promote them in going. How many days have you left Faith Bible Church? You drove away and you felt like you were pecked at. How many days have you drove away from Faith Bible Church and you're like, I'm so glad because we've got a group of people that appreciate me for who I am and what I do or whatever. I think that appreciation for others is very important. It all is wrapped around the idea of edification. Let me ask you a question. Do you show others your appreciation for them and what they do? Are you thankful for what your brother or sister behind you does? You know, the body is an amazing thing. If it weren't for certain parts of the body, we wouldn't be. And let me tell you something. If you left Faith Bible Church, we would be lacking. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that every one of you are here and you provide something special. Even if you don't have a specific ministry or you're not a maybe you're not a member and you don't have a certain thing that you do, I'm just thankful for what you do. You know, some people walk in with a smile. And I say, you know what? That contributes to this place today. Some walk in with a little bit of encouragement to some people. Maybe you have a good attitude about the horrible weather outside, or maybe you are active in a certain thing. Maybe you clean the building. Maybe you take care of this, or you maintain it. Maybe you teach something. Maybe you preach something. Maybe you count the money. And there's all kinds of things that make this church able to function, to go. And I am concerned that we make sure that we're a group of people that are showing our appreciation for others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." There was an encouragement. You're doing this, but edify one another, build up one another, comfort one another. Don't just sit there and peck at each other. Let's encourage them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts." You remember the story in context of 1 Corinthians? There was a church there that had gifted people. You had Paul and Apollos and others. And that the whole group was divided up and they were after this guy and we're after this one, or we love this one. And they were all divided. And Paul spends chapters and chapters saying, listen, people have got to stop segregating yourselves and following just certain ones, and you need to come together and you need to build each other up. And Paul says, you know, they were after gifts and certain things that made them better. And, well, I speak in tongues and I do this. And Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, "Even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts," you're zealous of certain things that God has built you to do in this church, he said, "Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." Take the energy that you have to build yourselves up and put that energy towards building other people up. This weekend at the men's retreat, some of the guys were talking about some of the ball players that are involved in the professional sports these days. And we were talking about certain ones that honestly, I was a sports guy, but the junk that's going on, especially some of the professional sports, it sickens you. It's disgusting. It's ridiculous. And who are those guys after? Themselves. They're all after their own selves. And they do whatever to blast everybody out of the water so they can build themselves up. What an ungodly thing. And they seek so much. They're after one thing. It's for themselves. You know, God says we're supposed to seek and go zealous after certain things, but it's not the promotion of ourselves. Faith Bible Church, it's not the promotion of yourselves. It ought not be your goal to be the next deacon. It ought not be your goal to be the next leader of this, or to be the one that does this, or I'm the... You know, it ought not be. But you know what you ought to be zealous about? Your brother, your sister, the ones that need to be brought up. There's the purpose, but I want to get to the how, and that's where we're going to turn to the passage we're going to stay in for a little bit. Go to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 1 with me this morning. Colossians chapter 1, and I want to look at the first 7 verses. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you're there. Colossians chapter 1, and I want you to see a few things. We're not going to necessarily see the word edification, although we're going to look at the how. So how at Faith Bible Church can we be involved in what God has given to us as a purpose, that we're supposed to make for peace and edify one another And three times we just read they're edifying. It's in the scriptures many more times that we seek to excel to edify or build up one another. I want to give you some very practical things this morning that you can take, very practical, that you can take home with you today and give you some tools that you can show up to church here at Faith Bible Church and try to edify one another, just very practicals. And we're going to see in Colossians chapter 1 how this is done. Paul, of course, is writing to this church here in Colossae, these believers. And notice just what he says. I want to read all of the seven verses, or the first seven verses, and you're going to see edification. Paul, as he writes this letter to them, he's going to be very encouraging and showing his appreciation for these people. All right, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. By the way, I'll stop with verse 1. You try to pick it out. How is Paul being appreciative of these people? You try to pick it out. Every detail. All right, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And he's going to continue on with that, but we're going to stop there. I want you to see some points that we get from Paul as he addresses these people. I want you to notice, first of all, we see in verses 2 to 4 what Paul did to edify these people. Did you catch it? We look in verse 2. Notice that he tells, how does he refer to these people? To the saints and faithful. How is that encouraging? I'll tell you what it is. He tells them, you know what? I'm writing to you people who I consider faithful. Let me ask you a question this morning. If you're, after the service today, you're walking out, and somebody comes up to you and says, brother or sister, I'm just so thankful that you're faithful. Would that encourage you? Yeah, it would be. The first thing I want to tell you that we see here, and by the way, that's not the only thing. He says, he tells them what they did well. And that's the first thing that I want you to see, that they were faithful. In verse 4, he says, and of the love that ye have to all the saints. I notice that you're a church that loves other people. I just pick out these two things here. But the first point that I want you to see, and practically how to do it, is he tells them what they do well. Do people at this church do some things that are well? Of course they do. Are you thankful for the persons that go back in the room and count the money on a weekly basis? And they do a good job for us. You know what you ought to do? You ought to thank them for the time and the energy that it spends. And you talk to any one of those people that do it, honestly, it takes some time back there. You know when everybody else is either fellowshipping or doing this, doing that, or maybe going off and going home, getting home? You know, sometimes they're back here for a long time, counting the money. The other people that are do certain things, do the people that clean our church do it well? Look around. I feel like the people that clean our church do a good job. The people that take care of the maintenance and make sure that our church is running, of course, as long as we have good equipment to do it. But the people that do that, do they do a good job? I submit to you that they do a good job and they do it well. And there are people that take our children and they go back to the nursery and they do a good job. But let me ask you a question. We all know, I believe that we have a church that does things well. Doesn't mean that we can't improve in anything, and I need to teach you how to do certain things, and that's our job. We've got to continue to increase. But I'll say this. Are you telling them that they do well? Paul does not just do this in Colossians. In fact, you could turn to probably any one of Paul's books. What does Paul do at the beginning of every one of these books? And probably at the close of these books? What does he do? He shows his appreciation for these people. Let me ask you another question. Would you rather do something for somebody that finds fault in everything you do, or would you rather do something for somebody that appreciates what you do? I think that's a no-brainer. You would rather do it for the person that appreciates it, even if you don't do a perfect job. You know what? Somebody appreciate what I did. Now, I'm not preaching to you this morning from the perspective of the individual that receives it. Brothers and sisters, we ought not be just looking for appreciation. In fact, who ought we be looking? What we ought to be looking for when we minister? The honor and glory of God, right? You do the work, you count the money, or you clean this place, or you teach, or you maintain, or you, whatever you do it for what purpose? Not as eye service as men pleasers, but we do it in singleness of the heart as unto who? The Lord. We don't do it to be patted, but to be, you know, patted on the back and to be praised and thanked. Listen, I'm not talking from the person that receives its perspective this morning. Yes, you know what? I'm appreciated here. No, I'm talking about for everybody else that ought to show that appreciation. Paul was so good at expressing appreciation. Philippians, you remember one of the main reasons why Paul writes to those to the church in Philippi? What had they done? And we might even get to it in chapter 4 a little bit later in the message. What had the church in Philippi done for Paul? They gave, okay? Remember, they were a poor church, and yet they gave to Paul and the church in Jerusalem. They were givers of that. And Paul appreciates his thankfulness. Thank you for doing that. Has anybody ever thanked you and it discouraged you from doing it again? No, in fact, when somebody appreciates it, what does it want you to do? Do it again. Do it more because, wow, this is a blessing to somebody else. Brothers and sisters, have you expressed your appreciation for other people in your life that are blessing you? We talked about grandparents at the start of the service. Have you appreciated them? Do you appreciate your parents? Do you appreciate the people in the church that do this and do that? But more importantly, not just do you appreciate it, have you told them? In order for us to edify one another, we need to tell them. It is encouraging. It's building up when you tell somebody, I appreciate what you do. Now, there's something to discover in this passage, but there's something to obey. What ought it to be? You know, this week you ought to go home and you ought to discover, you've discovered the truth already, part of it. You ought to make it a point to, this week I'm going to show my appreciation. I'm going to tell people that they do this. These people, they did some things well. Paul says, you're faithful. I'm so grateful for your faithfulness. He says, you love other people. You love the saints. You know what? As a pastor, I do appreciate most people that come to our church. We show our appreciation and care for other people. I've heard that over and over. And I want to tell you, I thank you for that. I appreciate that. Among many, many other things, let's show people that we care. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul is writing again there, and he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, this is a different church, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is thankful for these people. Notice in verse 3, Paul gives God thanks. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He was so thankful. Are you thankful for other people? Do you share your appreciation to them and to God? Look at Philippians chapter 4. I told you that we might go there. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Keep your finger here in Colossians. We're going to come right back to this. The people gave. You're in Philippians chapter 4. Right before this, in fact, it probably might even be on the same page there. You didn't have to turn very far. But Philippians chapter 4, look at verses, well, just skim verses 14 to 20. And right away he says, notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So they had given to Paul. Know ye, now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So he said, you know, giving. He's going to mention that a couple times, and receiving once. In verse 18, notice, just drop down to verse 18, he gives some detailed appreciation. But I have all and abound, I am full, and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. There's a detailed appreciation for those people and what they gave. Verse 19, and then he gives the blessing granted. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if you were one of these people at Philippi, wouldn't it encourage you what Paul's telling you? He's saying, I'm so grateful. Nobody else did this, but you have done this, and it's such a blessing. And I thank God, and I'm telling you, it is such a blessing. It's a sweet-smelling savor and odor in God's eyes. He's so thankful for them. Folks, we ought to tell people that are doing things. It's just so practical. We ought to tell people what they're doing that we appreciate them. You know, did your Sunday school teacher, children this morning, did they do a good job? You know what, children, teens, and whoever else, you know, class you're in, your teachers work hard to bring you a good lesson. We ought to show our appreciation. Thank you so much for that. We take for granted so many ministries at this church. We thank the people that bring flowers and make our church beautiful with certain things. You know what? Thank you so much. Week in and week out, you do this. You're such a blessing. Maybe we could even take it further and say God's blessing upon you. In fact, that's the next thing I want you to bring you to see as you're in Colossians chapter 1 there. Notice that Paul asked or prayed for God's blessing upon them. He says, grace and peace. Grace be unto you, verse 2, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying that God would bless you, sir, because you do this. I'm just going to ask, you know, you spend so much time at our church doing this. I'm going to ask this week that God would clear your schedule and he'd give you some time to have more time for this. You know what? What an encouragement. I tell you, and please don't do this because you would just be doing just for sake of what I'm saying. But you know, if one of you came to me after the service, you know, today and said, I'm just being honest with you, if you said, Pastor, I appreciate, and you have before, Pastor, I appreciate the time that you take to study the things of the Lord and pray about what to preach. And I appreciate that you do that. And I'm going to pray this week that God would bless you with time to not only do that, but maybe have some extra time for your family. Or, you know, I mean, I'm honest, I'm not going to go home hanging my head and be like, I'm struggling today. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do that to me when I walk out today. What I am suggesting is you do it for somebody else. Tina, you did such a good job. Jane, you did such a good job. Skip, you know what? I'm so thankful, you know, for hearing the organ. You know, Victoria played the violin this morning. that's such a blessing to me. You know what? Thank Zach back there in the sound room. And now I'm getting in trouble because I'm starting to single people out. I'm not singling out those people. You all do things. You all do things. And you know what? You ought to thank the person. You know, I noticed Gary's back there smiling at that. But Gary takes out the trash. You know what? Praise the Lord for somebody to take out the trash. You know what? And other people that you do this, and maybe you're sitting there and you say, boy, what do? I'm glad you're here and you like to shake my hand with a smile. But tell them that and appreciate it. And on top of that, say, you know what? I'm so grateful. I'm going to ask God to bless you. I hope you have a good week this week. And I'm going to pray for you. Grace and peace to you, Paul says. Can you imagine if we had a church that went around praising each other? Just say, I'm so glad for you. I'm so grateful for you and what you do. And I'm going to ask God's blessing upon you. That's what Paul does. This is practical, how we do it. Ask, pray for God's blessing in the hearts and lives of people. Going back to Ephesians chapter 1, we could look at verses 17 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 23. Paul is doing the same thing. He gives thanks to them, and I'm not gonna read it all because of time this morning, but I'll tell you, Paul in Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, to the end of the chapter, he just says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him. And he goes on and on and on. You get the point. It's just a blessing. I'm just going to pray this for you. I'm for you, brother. You know, we need to ask God's blessing upon each individual today. You know, it could be this time. You know, I'm just going to ask that God will provide those needs for you. And I've had people before, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I'm going to pray that God blesses and He provides the money for that thing that you need. You know what? That's a blessing. That's an encouragement. In fact, it's almost like, you know what? So-and-so is praying, you know, for this certain thing. I can't even remember not too long ago. What was it? That there was something that I expressed that was a need. I can't even remember what it was. And Loretta Stevens came and she shook my hand with a big old smile. It was a blessing to me that day. And she shook my hand and she said, Pastor, I'm going to pray that God provides this thing. I can't even remember what it was. Did I walk out discouraged that day? No. I thought, now that was good. Somebody else is praying for this and they're for it. Well, praise the Lord. And you know what? It gave me more faith and encouragement that God would even do it because I knew that there was more. It wasn't just some whim that I was praying for. Somebody else said, we're going to pray for that too. You know what? Can you imagine if we had a whole church that was behind each other and said, we're going to pray for that too. We're going to pray that God would provide this or would He would do that or we're going to see God do it. I believe that God's going to do this. Brothers and sisters, that is encouraging. That's appreciation. What a blessing that we could do that for other people. Let's look at the third thing. We look in Colossians chapter 1. Now, this is a little bit different. He's speaking to this church at Colossae, but notice he's going to talk about somebody else now. His name is Epaphras. But notice what Paul does with this other individual. He says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Now, I ought to tell you, I'm so grateful of you, but you know what? Another way in which we can share and express appreciation is to not only go to you and say, I really appreciate what you do. I'm asking God to bless you, but it's to go to other people. Now, the Bible tells us it's wrong for us to go and lift up ourselves in other people's minds. I'm not supposed to go and blow my own trumpet. Did you hear what I did today? Did you see what I did? But God says it's a good thing when other people say things about you. So not only do I thank Mr. So-and-so for doing this and Mrs. So-and-so for doing that, but I also go to somebody else and say, did you see what Epaphras did as well? What a blessing. He's telling this church right here in this place, he's calling attention to another man that did a good work. And this man, Epaphras, wasn't even there. He says, you know what? They are a blessing. You know what edifies and encourages the body is when you tell other people about something good. What normally happens in church? What's normal? We go to other people and tell other people about what they didn't do well. I'll tell you what, that's normal. That's That is ungodly, and it's too bad that that takes place. Yeah, so-and-so. Do you notice that they never are there? I can't understand why they don't do this. By the way, that's not only edification. That is not only neutral. That is actually tearing down the body. It's like going over to that edifice and getting a brick and pulling it out. You ever played that game, Jenga or whatever, that you build this thing up and you pull out this little thing here and there? And what happens? At some point, what happens to that building? It falls. No, that's the opposite of building. That's tearing down one brick block by one. Brothers and sisters, we ought not to do that. But instead, you know what? You know the game we ought to be playing? Not game, but you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be taking every hole and putting it in there. So what? So that it is packed and filled and there's no gaps and we're encouraging and edifying. We're making a solid building. And how does it happen? It's called edification. And practically, it's building each other up. It's encouraging and showing appreciation for other people. Helping them in the Word of God, helping them in their growth, praying for them, encouraging, giving, blessing. Speak well of them in front of others. So how do we do this? Tell them well what they do. How do we do this? We bless them and ask God to bless them in their lives. How do we do this? We go to other people and we blow their horn in front of other people. It's okay if we do it. Individually, we don't do it for ourselves. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. But guess what? It's a blessing when somebody else does it. It's okay. Boy, I just really appreciate that person that does this. Boy, they do a good job. You know, when I hear somebody else say something of somebody, a third party, that encourages me about them. You see, that's helping edify them because I'm telling you something about that other person. Boy, people at Faith Bible Church, we ought to do that. We ought to go around not tearing people down. We ought to go around telling, boy, I love the people that count the money. They do such a good job. I appreciate what the secretary does Monday through Friday. I appreciate what this person, you know, does out on the grounds and how they do this. And boy, I'm so glad that these people come and they're just a great addition to our church. I'm so grateful for that person that holds the door open so that when it, you know, we can come in and be here in the building. I'm so thankful for over and over, whatever it is. What a blessing. And I close with this. For what end? Why? The purpose? God tells the church we need to edify. We see practically how. Why? What is it going to do for that person? I want to close with a couple things. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, we're going to find three things in Ephesians chapter 4 that we see is the purpose for this edification. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to start off in verse 13. We're going to look at 13, 16, and then we're going to jump down to verse 29. Here's what happens when we're involved in edification, when we're involved in showing our appreciation for others. Here's what's going to happen to our church, folks. Listen to this. Here's what will happen to Faith Bible Church if we tell other people, I really appreciate what you do. Here's what's going to happen when we say, I'm just going to ask God to bless you because of what you're doing. Here's what's going to happen when we, in front of other people, we say, you know what? Isn't that person in our church a blessing? Here's what's going to happen. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 13. He's talking in context of the church building each other up, edification. What will happen? Till we all come in the what? Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now I give that to you. He's brought up the topic of edification and being one person and you've got the pastor doing this and you've got the people under him doing this. You've got these different gifts and they're training and they're leading and the church is doing the work of the ministry. That's what context we're talking about here. And things are happening together as one unit, and this is the result of this unity. It's the result of this caring one for another and as a body fit together doing the work. The outpouring of this is till we all come into the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, the end result of this activity at our church is that your brothers and sisters and we as a church are going to become like Christ. That's what our building is for. Our building is not so everybody can look and say, whoa, look at that big building. The purpose of this building is that Christ be honored, that Christ be glorified, that they look at us and they say, wow. And as they come and discover truth and obey truth and hopefully share truth, they as a person become more like Christ. So when you tell that brother or sister, you know what, I appreciate what you do. You know what you're helping them do? Become more like Christ. You're encouraging them, you're pushing them towards Christ, towards God, towards them. I'll tell you what, where are you taking your brother or sister when you tell them, when you tell others about what they don't do and how they, when you peck at them like those hens? They're not going to be going towards Christ. It's only going to be discouragement to them. And you know what, after a certain amount of time, you know what that other hen or that person's going to want to do? Leave, go somewhere else, because you can only take so much pecking. You can't. We're humans. Brothers and sisters, no, Christ-likeness is the goal, is the key here. We edify, we encourage, we care for one another, we show our appreciation for Christ-likeness. Look down at verse 16, and he's still talking about this whole body together, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by the which every joint supplieth. That's a body working together, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what edifying does? It promotes growth. Right here. It grows a church. How do we grow our church? I will tell you, it's not by bringing in some program. It's not by bringing some special group to come sing this. It's not going to be by having some activity that is going to, you know, have all kinds of fancy things around here. We're not going to have a carnival out here. We're not going to do all kinds of stuff to draw people in. God does not call us to do those things that so many religions and churches are doing. We got to do whatever to bring people in. The end does not justify the means. We do it in God's way. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, we do it God's way and it will work. But God says what will grow the church is a group of people that are showing appreciation for each other. I'll tell you, one of the reasons why churches don't grow is because it's the opposite. Peck, 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 and they leave. But you edify and encourage one another. It promotes a place of Christ-likeness, which is going to promote church growth. I'm not preaching this message so that we can have church growth, but it's a byproduct. It would perpetually happen when our church loves each other and has appreciation for each other. Look at lastly, verse 29, we see another element of a product or a fruit that comes from appreciation of others, edification. He's still speaking to this group of people, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, because we know what's going to happen with that. That's going to tear each other apart. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know what? When we encourage and appreciate other people, it ministers grace to them. It's a gift of God to them to bless them. It's a gift that no one deserves. But it's grace. It's grace. It's grace to help in the time of need. It's grace to do what we cannot do ourselves. It's a gift. It's a blessing. It's something that God gives to us to help us. Folks, we ought to be involved in appreciating other people. It does so much. Brings us closer to Christ. It grows our church. Gives us God's grace. The question is, are you involved this morning at appreciating others? Very practical thing. Do you tell other people in this room, right here, what you're so grateful for? And by the way, every single person we're grateful for. Everyone. Every single person that's sitting here this morning, I am grateful for you and what you bring to our church. Everyone. So glad. Even to the visitor or whoever comes, thank you for coming. It helps to have your voice when we sing it. It's so good to hear you care about the things of the Lord. I'm so glad. It encourages me when visitors come, because it's like, hey, there's somebody out there that wants to hear the good news. We can find something that everybody has here that we can appreciate. And what's the result? They're going to become more like Christ. Our church is going to grow. They're going to receive grace. And I would tell you this, God's going to receive glory from a church that appreciates. So the question is, have you been showing appreciation for the people? We're getting real practical. I'm talking right here. Right here. Are you telling them? Are you asking God's blessing? Are you telling other people about them? Boy, we're so grateful for them. Aren't you glad that so-and-so comes to our church? We are blessed. I know if I heard that, it'd bless my soul. I hope that you appreciate other people. Put it to practicality. Share with them. Tell them. Tell others. God, would you help us to see this little message that you put together? For me, it was a blessing this week. I experienced it. It was just so encouraging. And Lord, I couldn't help not to pass along to other people. It does something. It honestly edified me this week. It encouraged me. Lord, and I pray that we can be involved in encouraging others. Thank you for being this. Thank you for, Lord, help. Help us to be that kind of a church. Lord, that we could be to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.